Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes. Today we are talking to Byron and Carla Weathersby about marriage. Marriage, you know, in the movie The Princess Bride. Every time I hear the word marriage, that's the only clip that I can think about. But today we are talking to them about the good, the bad, and the ugly of marriage. If you're struggling in your marriage, this is the podcast to listen to. If you're not married, but you think one day you might, this is the episode. If you're kind of just in the middle where you're either just smashed with babies right now and you're thinking, I don't even know what my partner looks like right now because we're so busy. Or maybe you're like us and you're 20 years in, but you kind of have had that lull or that miscommunication. You're trying to get connected back together. This is the podcast for you. We really go into all of it. Carla and Byron are the founders of Legacy Ministry. And really what they do is they help pre-married couples. They help marriages. They really help strengthen it to help the family as a whole. And so you're going to hear their heart today. You're going to hear some of the things that they've gone through and how they've strengthened their marriage when it could have been torn apart. I think you're going to love this and you're going to love some of the resources. So make sure you go to our show notes and check out what they offer.
Byron and Carla, thanks so much for being with us today. I'm excited to talk about all things marriage in all of the different ways, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on. We're excited to be a part, and it's just a privilege to get to join you guys.
Yeah, Christy, we really appreciate your ministry, appreciate what you do, and this is exciting for us to get to be a part of it.
Thank you. Well, I want you, first of all, to kind of tell us a little bit about you, your marriage, how long you've been married, and how you are using what you've learned and kind of been through to journey with others, kind of what you're doing now.
Yeah, it depends on if you have me tell a story or Carla tell the story of how we met, how we really met. We met at Baylor University. And
we have differing opinions on when we really met.
Oh, nice.
That's for another time.
Yeah, Carla doesn't remember meeting me the first three times, so really made a huge impression.
Yes, you did.
And anyway, we met. I was doing youth ministry, and we got married in 1984, so we're approaching 38 years of marriage. That's and awesome. We have three children, about to be 35, 33, and 29. A boy and then two girls. And then we've got two grandchildren, a two-year-old and one-year-old. So the way we got started doing Legacy Family Ministries, why don't you tell them that?
Well, the backstory to how Legacy even came to be is when we were married only 5 years, our two-year-old son was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. He was our firstborn, and we had a six-week-old baby at the time. We were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, far away from our families. And we went through 2 years of chemo, radiation, hospitalizations. They had to remove his bladder. He was really sick. And we just saw the institution of church and family come around us in such an incredible way. And through that time of suffering, it really just drove in us a deep passion to do whatever we can to build up the church and to build up the family. And so then it would be probably 4 or 5 years later that we would move to Waco. 3 years later that we moved to Waco, and then we started Legacy Family Ministries in 1995.
Okay.
So
how long were you married when you started kind of working with others on their journey in marriage?
We were 11 years into marriage.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yes. And so up to that point, we were doing youth ministry.
Okay. Full-time. Yeah. That was my journey.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, we loved youth ministry. It was just great. And we had, Byron had this vision of doing a family camp and taking families away just to play and get. And we did that for Bo's victory party when he finished all his cancer. We took the families and incredible gift that it was to the families. And so we wanted to do that for other families. And then we partnered with this new church that was just starting in Waco. Well, we joined that church to do legacy part-time and that church part-time. And there were these, it was all college students at this church. And we were the only married people, and Byron was on staff, and our pastor wasn't married, and neither was the worship leader. And so we had these five couples that said, "Hey, we're getting married, and you're pretty much the only people in the church that are married. So can you help us?"
You're the old married
couples,
right?
Yes, we are. We were 33 and the old married couple.
Yeah. It's funny.
And so we had these five couples over to our house for like 6 weeks in a row, and we just loved it so much. We just said, let's all get together and we'll talk about it. So we loved it so much.
We learned that the dynamic of small group within, we didn't want to do premarital counseling, and we did a small group approach. And from there, now we've had about 1,800 couples that have gone through our marriage prep class. And the last time we did any kind of a demographic of that, less than 5% of those had ended in divorce.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're doing super important work. And we'll talk about just a little bit more about why a healthy marriage is so important to families. And I think sometimes as we've been married for a while, you're in the throes of sports and school and your kids, and marriage kind of gets lost in the middle. And I want to talk about that. But can I take you back to when you were, how long were you married before you said your son was diagnosed with cancer?
We were 5 years into marriage. We were 27 years old.
Okay. So still pretty early in that. I'd love if you could kind of remember back in those days. And I know I didn't have this as one of your questions, but I think of families. I have some families right now who are really going through some battles and real like tragic experiences, whether it be their son or their daughter has an illness that they can't, you know, seem to figure out, or whether they've lost a child, or some of those huge moments that can either bring you together as a couple or completely tear you apart. Can you remember what that was like for you and how you navigated that as a couple when you found out that really horrific news?
Yeah, I think it was devastating. And one of the things that we begin to learn and are still learning 38 years in, and that Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he goes on to offer a great hope of, but I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And I think through that experience, we got to see that our only hope, our only way forward on those days that you just didn't, it just hurt too much to walk. It hurt too much to move forward. And I think that's where the institution of family and the institution of church really rallied around us and picked up our arms and picked up our lives and helped a way forward be possible. And I think for us, as we watched couples go through childhood cancer, as it put the heat on, the pressure on, mm-hmm. it either forged a deep bonding, and that's what Carla and I were blessed to experience, or it put a wedge in it and really shattered the relationship. Some of the families that we journeyed with in that childhood cancer ward, several of those families who had great marriages going in and ended in divorce. It was too much for them to go through. And I think what we've learned through all that is that a God who is holy, a God who is powerful, a God who is gracious and the sustainer is the one that gives us hope through the junk that life comes at us. When that pressure comes in on us, there's a way forward.
Yeah. And I would say too that we realized it was very humbling, because we realized we weren't going to make it unless we had help. And so you have to let people help you. So for those of your listeners who are in a crisis right now and who are struggling with how are we going to get through this, I would say let people in. Don't just try to hide and like suffer all by yourself. We would not have made it without, I mean, at the end of the 2 years, people had given money, people had mowed our yard, people had cooked for us. We had the most amazing support, and it changed our lives forever. Mm. And so now we want to give that to other people. So some of the deepest people have gone through the deepest suffering are those who can turn around and love others well. Mm. And so I like what James says, don't resent, you know, problems as intruders, welcome them as friends. And so these problems are just some of the greatest things that can really strengthen your life, create focus and clarity and just purify your love and your passion for life and passion for God.
And then we comfort those out of how we found comfort.
Sure.
You know, we can, we can help others as a result of going through that when we survive it.
Right. Right. I was going to say once you get through the, you know, the tragedy of it and the survival stage of it, you know, I've seen so many who are going through similar things. So I think what I hear you say is one, ask for help, that you can't do it all, you know, by yourself, and then lean on God together, and each other. And I think that's an easier thing to say than do. But you guys did it and you're helping others do it. I want to kind of transition to, a lot of our listeners have young kids. And so they're just like slammed with the diapers and the, you know, all the unseen moments. I'm doing a message on Mother's Day and talking about how, you know, just as moms, for me, it was survival. I did the toddler stage and like the little baby stage was like, I was the walking dead. I was a zombie. And then in survival stage, it was like, what am I even doing? Like, what did I even do today? I changed 27,000 diapers and I, you know, cleaned the house 15 times. What do I even have to show? And so I think a lot of times we have all of these different listeners. And so I want to talk about kind of the listeners who have younger babes, or they're just like slammed with all these the kids, you know, who are under five and they're all in their house and they're thinking, okay, I love that you're doing a podcast on marriage. It's really sweet. But how in the world am I supposed to nurture and have date, you know, whatever it is, how am I supposed to do that when we have a swarm of children that we can barely handle? So can you give some advice and encouragement to those who are just in the throes of parenthood?
Yeah, first of all, my heart goes out to those are just tough and complex years. Yeah. And my heart goes out to every couple that is in that stage. And I think that part of what they're going through, sometimes we wait until our kids are in the stage to prepare for the stage. And if they've got small kids and they're in diapers right now, they're really preparing their kids for junior high and high school. And those people who have, that are listening, that have people who are in junior high and high school, you're really preparing your kids for young adulthood and college days. And not to lose sight of the vision of being able to raise a family and develop a family. And it just takes daily grind. Yeah. And it's not lost on us that is so worth it. Mm-hmm. And I know they don't want to hear this because it goes so quickly. And I can remember people telling us that, and I'm thinking, man, I just want to survive the next hour.
Right, right.
And I would say to them, hang in there. You can survive the next hour. And anybody who goes through AA or NA or any other thing, it's, all you're supposed to be doing is living the next hour. Anyway.
Right, right.
And the greatest gift that you can give your child is a strong and healthy marriage. And I think if you have to let the dishes go or let the laundry go to get away with your husband, you know, or whatever it takes to, we tried to get away every 4 months. Mm-hmm. Even in the throes of childhood cancer, we had parents come in, we left our sick baby sometimes, not irresponsibly, but you have to choose ahead of time, like, we're going to make this happen. Sure. And we're going to choose to invest into this marriage, even though you're so completely exhausted, and to limit what you say yes to, because that season, knowing that there's going to be other seasons for you to say yes to other things, but to say, no, I am going to give all of my energies to this unseen hard work that is so no one says thank you for, but it matters, you know, it's sacred work, mm-hmm. being a mom of young littles, and every single thing you do, God sees that, and it's sacred work to invest into your little kids. So you don't have to like be involved in a million things in this season of your life. And you can say no to all the others. So it's just choosing well, simplifying the best you can, and staying off the phone and saying, you know, just saying no to a lot of things that can distract us and divide us, and being singularly focused on your kids and your marriage, and then having other girlfriends, guy friends cheer you on in that way.
I like what
you said it earlier. You've got to have help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's such freedom in you saying, you know, one, it's a grind. So all those who are listening, it's a grind. And for me, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a doer. So I love doing that. And I would never tell someone not to do their passion or go for something that they love to do. But I would say in that season, don't give yourself grace that if you're not doing the thing or the thing that you used to do as well, it's okay. Like, you're surviving right now. For me, it was the toddler stages were just surviving, but I remember feeling so like I wasn't doing enough. And so I think what you said, just in that season, it's just in those little seasons. It's just a season. And I used to want to punch people that said that. And when they said, you know, the years go by so fast, I was like, no, it's not going by fast. It's the longest, the days are the longest days of my life.
Yeah, the days are long.
Days are so long.
Incredibly
and so
long days.
I think just simplifying what I hear you say is like simplifying all the things. Like, you don't have to do everything right now. And finding the time to be with your spouse, checking in with them, you know, and letting some of the other things go. Like letting some of the other stuff go, because that's, you know, that's the most important.
Choosing what's most important.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And I asking remember for perspective. In those days with Carla, if I really were pouring into her and to use a cheesy term, but to make sure her soul was filled up, her cup was filled up, I could work long youth ministry days and weekends, and she was fine. She would do great. But if we were like two ticks sucking off of no dog, we're just both trying to take and take and take and take. I couldn't go across the street without her blowing a gasket. And I think to like you said, check in with each other. And sometimes we put these unrealistic expectations on ourselves. And I think inadvertently the church has placed that on super moms and super dads. And we've just got to realize that life is intended to be at a much slower pace during that season. Mm-hmm.
So as our kids get older, you know, and you, it's a different thing. So as your kids get older, my husband and I are going on 20 years of marriage. You start to lose touch, or your kids are running all the different things. You're going to sports, you know, I'm loving life, but at the same time, maybe we've been in it so long that we just kind of lose I don't know what it is that you actually, what you've kind of lose, but you just over time, you know, you've been together for so long, you forget what the other person needs, or you forget to be, let them be fully who they are. And so help us kind of, for those who have kind of been in it for a while and need to maybe come back together or figure out how we can connect again. What are some ways that you've seen other people connect again after they've been married for a while?
Well, I think you're exactly right to say, you know, the drift will happen unless you defy the drift and really work intentionally and being super intentional to continue to enter each other's worlds and to be creative in how you spend time together. I know that at year 15 for us, it kind of all came to a head that Byron always felt like he had been feeling for the first 15 years, it felt like that he wasn't ever enough for me, that I was so disappointed in the different things. And really what it was my pride in my trying to make Byron a lot like me. Mm-hmm. And so I think every couple has to kind of get to that point to where they're like, no, I'm going to accept this person for exactly who they are. And I'm going to learn to love them unconditionally, sacrificially, and choose a grateful heart and choose mm-hmm. to be grateful for what they bring and not marginalize the differences, but to celebrate the differences, because the differences are a real thing. It was for us, mm-hmm. you know, that's a real thing in marriage. And so
it doesn't go away.
Right. Maybe it probably gets worse, or like for what we're seeing is like, it either gets worse, not worse, but like more the differences, or someone in the relationship changes. So they grow, and maybe one of the other person's kind of stays. And so one is growing towards something, the other one might not be. And so it's like, wait,
you grow in different ways.
You've gone so far from me. Like, where are we now? Because you're changing. Like, a lot of people, if they get married young, they're changing into the person, you know, that God has created them to be. And it may look very different than when they first got married. And so trying to figure that out, well, how yes. have you seen that play out?
Yeah. We've seen it play out in us with just even how we have grown, like how we have grown in our spiritual lives. Like how Byron connects to God is very different than how I connect to God and what we do to, like, and I sat in judgment of him for so long when I was the one that was so filled with pride.
And yet my way is the right way. And right. If she would just approach God the way I yes. approach God,
she'd be so spiritual. Be
yes. Yes. But we were missing out on getting to see a bigger view of God than what we would have seen just in and of ourselves. Like sometimes we get in stuck places, and we were in one of those stuck places in year 15, and we had to reach out to go to counseling. So I am a huge proponent of getting someone that's neutral, that's trained, and that can ask the questions and help you rebuild mm-hmm. some of those things that you may have lost or gain insight
sure.
and new information that you may not know. And so we did that, and that's been super helpful. And I would say, you know, endurance and keep on turning towards each other instead of running to your hobbies, you know, wanting to escape, wanting to get on your phone, wanting to Netflix binge, you know, drink more wine. Yeah. Keep turning towards each other and keep drawing a circle around yourself and changing, letting God help you change every single thing in that circle.
You know, Christy, you may have told your listeners this before, but I think our observation would be when couples get to that 12 to 15 year mark, the disillusionment stage has hit full all out, and they're empty, they're worn out. But that's not a bad place to be. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's when God really begins to show up and does something pretty powerful in and through our lives. And I think that's where the covenant relationship really shows itself maybe the most, is during that 10 to 15 year period. There is some good research out there that when you hit that 12 year, 15 year mark, the covenant really starts to make sense. And I think the reason it is, I think the sex life improves, the communication, for sure the conflict management improves, because you've just had to, or it's going to implode. And I think what happens in that is that you hit that mark and you're empty and you're looking for something bigger than yourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those, oh, I need a savior. I need something bigger than myself. And that's the sanctification process that you spoke about a while ago, that we're different. We become different people spiritually as a result of it.
We tell our engaged couples all the time, marriage, like no other relationship, will expose your heart and demand your growth. And they don't get it. They're like, oh, really? Ha ha, that's great. But all of us that have been married longer than 5 minutes, you know, know that it's one of the hardest, just like parenting. It's one of the hardest but most rewarding and best things you could ever, ever do. And God is in it. He created marriage, and he best knows how to make it flourish and thrive. So let's surrender to his design instead of living in default.
And Gary Thomas's classic book, Sacred Marriage, a subtitle, What If God Intended Marriage to Make Us Holy More Than Just Happy? And I think we kind of go in looking for this happy life, and we come out realizing, no, this is really a spiritual discipline of us being sanctified.
Oh, right.
And on the other side is so much joy and so much oneness.
But you got it. Sometimes you have to go through that hard work to get there. And I think Grant and I have recently started marriage counseling. It's been 20 years. We've almost been married 20 years. And I say to people, like, I know why people have subpar marriages, because it's easier, or surfacey marriages. It's easier to have that, we think, than do the deep, deep work of getting to that other side where it's that joy. And I think a lot of times what I'm learning is, one, I think we go into marriage, or I did, wanting certain needs met. And if Grant didn't meet those needs in the way that I expected him to, which probably he didn't even know what those were, I truly didn't feel whole or happy, when really God was supposed to be meeting my need. You know, my worth is not supposed to be attached to Grant. My significance is not supposed to be attached to Grant. It's attached to Jesus, and Grant's just icing on the cake. But I think in our years, I got that mixed up. And then there's another thing that I'd love to, I've not really ever heard this, and maybe because this is our first time in marriage counseling, but we have this incredible counselor. And one of the things that she's helping us with is how to be fully ourselves, how God created us, fully us, like Grant be fully himself and me be fully myself. And then we're coming together, because what we've done is, like you said earlier, Carla, is you're trying to make him more like you. And if he's not doing it the way you're doing it, it just must not be right. And he's trying to, and he's kind of more the passive. So he's just kind of given in, whereas I've maybe like asked him to be a different way. And really he just wants to be himself and wants me to be accepting of who he is. And then I just want him to accept who I am and be proud of me and support me. And it's like we mess that up somehow, where we tried to make each other be somebody they're not. And so now we're back literally on square one of going, who am I? Who are you? You be you, me be me, yeah. And let's support each other and do life together how God created us to be, growing and changing and being okay with that, not being intimidated by that. So that has been a game changer for us. And I don't know that I was ever taught that in church. It was more like, give up this, don't do this. I don't feel like I ever truly felt like it was okay to accept who we are, that person. I don't know. I have never heard it before. And it's been a real game changer for us.
Well, and I think I love Easton's Bible Dictionary, and we teach this to our engaged couples. The Easton's Bible Dictionary defines husband as house band. And it's that idea of me being able to wrap my arms around not only Carla, but my kids, but especially Carla, and maximize her full potential for her discovering who she was created to be fully, mm-hmm. and letting her be fully her and not expecting her to be like me. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't be any different. And I mean, even last night, yesterday afternoon, we had a blow up and a tiff that it's just an ongoing, it's so exasperating. We've fallen into it 10 billion times. And probably if we live to be 107, it'll be 10 billion more. And I think the difference is we've learned to get there quicker through, mm-hmm. and we've learned to manage it a little bit better. But it's still exhausting.
Yeah.
And yet, the bottom line is she's not allowing me to be me, and I'm not allowing her to be fully her helping her to be fully who she is.
One of the things that we learned in marriage counseling, you're describing our story, Christy, that's our story. And so one of the things we learned when we went to counseling was oneness doesn't equal sameness. Mm. And I can still be one with my husband and not feel like he's got to be just like me.
Yeah.
And we also, were able to really see and begin to appreciate the strengths that each other brings. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I would encourage your listeners that has been huge for us to realize is Byron's not my enemy. We have another enemy that hates marriage. And when I start to think that, you're just evil, Byron, and you're after me or whatever, he's the enemy. No, I mean, Satan really hates your marriage, and we can't discount the fact that he will do everything he can to push you apart. And so we have to fight against that and realize, like, okay, we're not going to let him win. We're going to fight this together, and we're going to be on the same team.
That's good. That's good. As we kind of wrap up, I'd love to know, and there might not be one thing, but as we listen, is there a time-tested principle that has strengthened your marriage, or something that you've done that has been like, okay, this has been something that has helped us build a foundation, some practical ways that maybe our listeners can go, ooh, I can do that. Our marriage maybe looks different, or maybe we're in like a crisis of marriage and we need to go to counseling and we need to get help. And I would say that for our listeners, like if you are in a place where you're not just, we've kind of talked about not the easy things, but like the things that all marriages go through, right? We go through the craziness of the kids, and we go through the middle stage where we've kind of lost touch. But I'm talking about those who have gone through betrayals and who've gone through affairs and those kind of things. Like, those are still redeemable. When both parties are trying to work and forgive and repent. And so, ask for help for that. Go to counseling. find someone who can help you walk through that, a community walk through that. So I want to say that to our listeners who might be going, nope, ours is too far gone. We're too far. I don't think you can be. I think God can really restore and redeem everything, but it's going to take work and it's not going to be fun for a while. But on the other side, there is joy again and restoration. So is there anything, so my question for you, sorry, is there anything practically that our listeners could take away and say, okay, here are some things that maybe we should be working on, or here are some things that, you know, we need to be thinking about as a couple, whatever stage that they're in?
Well, back to your statement, I think that's when God gets to do his best work.
That's good.
When we're down and out, that's really when he gets to do his best redemptive restoration, any other R word you want to throw in there, he gets to do his best work in our lives. We have a friend who loves to ask people, how's your marriage? And that's kind of what he leads with. If he just met you and Grant, probably within the first 3 minutes, he'd look at you and go, how's your marriage? And it's such an awkward question. And I've watched him do it 100 times and people don't know what to do with that. But he then goes on, it's a lead in. It's kind of one of those, no, tell me really how you're doing. And he asked that because he's seen so many of his friends, and he's even gone through a difficult time in his marriage, and he wants to help people. Mm-hmm. And when it's crazy how it nearly always leads to something that gets to the heart of the matter, mm-hmm. the heart of the issue. I think as we work with pre-engaged, engaged couples, the key to living out the vow, one, is to know and understand why you're making it. Mm-hmm. And if you can know the why, you can endure almost anything. But to do that, I think, so I would say practically, learn and develop and grow in conflict management skills.
Mm, that's good.
And over and over and over, we're told those are the easiest and most minimal change. I mean, you can change in that area, and it's probably the quickest, easiest change is to learn how to navigate and manage conflict.
That's good.
And be aware of the lies that you're being whispered to by the person that hates your marriage the most. Like one of the lies we see a lot is, I must have married the wrong person. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the right person. And if there's physical abuse, there's conditions why it might not be the person for you to stay with. So I'm not saying that. But if it's just you're struggling and you're in a hard season, I think that's people's easy way out. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, you doing the hard work can put you guys in a better place. And we've known couples that endure, that say, no, I'm going to let God shape me and mold me, and I'm going to be in this, and I'm going to put in the work. They come out on the other side and they've left such an incredible legacy to their kids.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatest gift you can give your kids is a strong marriage. Mm-hmm. Something we give to our engaged couples is a little sign that they put, and it's like personalized to them. And it's Matthew 19:6. And it says, they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, don't let anyone separate. And God has put you together for a reason. He's in this with you. He will not leave you. There is always hope because he loves marriage. He loves it. So do whatever it takes to protect it. Don't let anyone tear or anything or any circumstance, anything tear this marriage apart. It is so worth it. And you get to be a little bit of a light to the dark world. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the purposes of marriage, is we get to see Christ's love for the church by the way we live our marriage to our neighbors. So it is beyond, it's a bigger story than just our little comfort.
Yeah.
And so live for that bigger story and see what God does and see how he uses your marriage in such powerful ways and how he will meet you in such powerful ways. He has not left and he is not forsaken. He never will.
And for those who have really are suffering through just horrendous, they've lost hope. They've given up their we have seen marriage intensives. Those have kind of popped up all over the country now, but it's a 3 to 5 day marriage intensive, and they can be costly, but they're at a retreat center. Chick-fil-A has a retreat center in Rome, Georgia that has several of these. There's one in
Amarillo
on Palladura Canyon. There's one in Austin. There's one in Houston. So they're everywhere, but they're 3 to 5 days intensives. And when you really do look at the cost of those, it's probably cheaper than ongoing counseling that it would take you. And they can move you down the road 3 to 5 years in those 3 to 5 days. Mm. But we've just seen some miraculous things happen when people go to those marriage intensives.
That's good. That's good. Well, I think what I'm hearing is don't lose hope and do everything you can to protect it, whether it be connecting times together, go into counseling. If you just can't figure it out, you know, there's all kinds of resources. And you guys have written some resources too. Can you tell us just a little bit about the things that you've written for people? And then we'll obviously put those links on our show notes.
Yeah, we have written an 8-week study for couples, or for, it's really designed to be in a small group, but it's called Together, How to Build a Godly Marriage. And we really do kind of lead with that question of how's your marriage? And because most people have gone through the honeymoon stage and the disillusionment stage, and it's a call back to marriage, and we take 8 different callings and remind them of that and help them work through that. And so that's one resource for those folks who maybe mentor or who know couples that are about to get engaged. We have a marriage preparation class here in the Central Texas area. We offer, have a couple of offerings, but we also have an online course for that as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for just sharing your heart. And I can tell just your passion and love for helping others just build marriages and build strong marriage so we can build loving and healthy families. So ultimately we can go out and love the world better. So thank you so much for everything. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Christy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Christy.
The week is find someone who can help you on this journey and never give up. I think some of the strongest marriages have gone through some of the hardest times, but they've asked for help. And I encourage you, if you are finding yourself struggling in your marriage, or maybe you just can't find connection, or maybe something really horrible has happened, to find someone who can journey with you through it. Because I promise you, it matters and it's worth it. Thanks again for joining us on Be Loved, Do Good podcast. We appreciate you so much, and we'll see you next week. Come and let it rest.